This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That was a fun one last night at TD Garden. Celtics a winner over the Lakers, 111-101 in a classic Celtics-Lakers showdown. Joe Weil with you here on a Sunday morning. Appreciate you joining us on WEI. We got a jam-packed show for you for the next hour. We're kicking it off with some NBA, but we also have some Red Sox talk coming up in a bit. So glad to be with you. Jacob Lassner behind the glass. We have a jet lag Jacob Lassner, but he is doing strong work already, and I know he will the rest of the day. And daylight savings time be damned, we are here. We are excited to talk some Boston sports with you. We have to start it off with last night and this game and how much fun it was to watch, to see these teams go back and forth. The fact that the Celtics in another primetime game going up against LeBron James at age 40, the fact that this is still happening is pretty damn remarkable. On top of that, they get the win against LeBron. He gets hurt. And once again, the Celtics take down Luka Doncic. And we want to hear from you, obviously, about last night's game, about that. If you want to get in some Red Sox thoughts in as well. And if you have some Bruins thoughts, I just want to give you a little preview of what's ahead on WEI. Sunday Skate's coming up next. So they will have you with breakdowns of everything that has happened this week. But I had to start it off with what happened last night and between these two teams, because once again, the Celtics show that they can beat one of the top teams in the NBA. But this was another one of those chapters in this era where the Jays stepped up and then Al Horford somehow still doing the damn thing in year 18. And if you were at the Garden last night, I want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. If you weren't at the Garden, you were just watching this on at home, I also want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 617-779-7937 as well about this game. Whatever you want to get your thoughts in here on a Sunday morning, if you've woken up at this time, and if you're with us and actually awake. I had my coffee, so I'm feeling a little bit better with this whole daylight savings time change. But I stayed up to watch that game last night because I just had to. And, you know, we saw some great play from LeBron early on. And then the Celtics, because of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown playing great defense on Luka Doncic. It was a pickup of what we saw at the end of, or what we saw in the finals last year, where Jaylen Brown picked up that assignment and did some work against Luka. And Luka, at the end of this game, had his numbers, but at the end of the first half, with Jaylen Brown playing a lot of defense on Luka, he finishes with 11 points, this being Luka Doncic on 3-of-8 shooting. Jason Tatum with 22 points at the half, 8-of-16 from the floor at halftime. LeBron led the Lakers with 14 at that time, but Jaylen Brown also pitched in 16 points, and it was crazy how that game flipped on its head last night, where the Lakers were up by four with a little over 2.5 to go in the first half. And then the Celtics end up scoring 5 straight. They jump ahead 53-52. Then LeBron hits a shot with 1:51 left in the first half. And the Lakers are up by 1, 54-53. And then the Celtics just closed it out strong. Jason Tatum hits a step back 3 to put the Celtics back ahead 56-54. And then it was such a great sequence to end that half. And it was at that point, really, I thought the Celtics were going to win this game. And I felt pretty confident about it. I want to hear where you thought at that point last night, or what point last night you thought that they had this game. Probably after the third quarter, which I wouldn't blame you. We'll get into that in a moment. But what was so great about that stretch right at the end of the first half is that Celtics take the lead on the 3 by Tatum. Then LeBron drives, and he drives on Al Horford. And I have an Al Horford stat for you that I have to rattle off, because, again, what he did last night with the Lakers trying to get him in isolation and the fact that Big Al's still doing the thing is remarkable. But he makes a great defensive stance on LeBron, who's driving toward the cup. And then Jason Tatum gets the rebound, drives the other way, dunks it in. Celtics up by 4, 58-54 at the half. And then they ran away with it. And the third quarter was a remarkable display of defense for the Celtics. Lakers held for 5-for-23 shooting in that period. They have Luka. They have LeBron, who was still healthy at that point. Austin Reeves, too. You know, he's not on the level of those other two guys, but he can shoot it. But 5-for-23, that's what the Lakers shot in the third quarter. They went 1-for-10 from downtown. Celtics forced 6 turnovers in the quarter as well. And this was crazy. So from the 2:16 mark of the second quarter to the 5:09 mark of the third quarter, the Celtics went on a 32-6 run. And they opened up a 22-point lead on the Lakers at that point. They were awesome. And Big Al was a big part of it. But I think what was so cool is that Jason Tatum, he plays 45 minutes in this one. Actually, 45 minutes and 26 seconds, if we want to be exact. He didn't sit at all in the second half. And that was what made this game special. And the NBA gets itself in trouble at times with this, where there are certain games you know the team is really going full throttle with their effort. This was one of those games. But I think it also made it more fun last night. And I have a point on this being a finals preview in a moment, which I'll get to. But just going back to the final numbers for the Jays. Jason Tatum, he goes for 40 points in this one, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. And the 45 minutes and 26 seconds he played, by the way, that is a career high in a regular season game that didn't go to overtime. Jaylen Brown, mimicking that script in the finals again last night. He plays about 41 and a half minutes, scores 31 points, hounded Luka Doncic, who, again, he had his numbers by the end, got hot, you know, in the fourth quarter. He finishes with 34, and listen, he's a great player, but the Celtics have their way with him, especially when they're attacking him when he's on defense. So he finishes with 31. This is one of the great regular season games that the Jays have played. I really believe that. And especially in the moment, knowing that all eyes were on them, this was the primetime Saturday night game with the Lakers coming in having won 8 in a row with Luka Doncic, and I still can't believe that trade actually happened, but it did. And it's revived Celtics-Lakers, because the Lakers are, at least in the Western Conference, a contender. But again, I have a thought on the finals idea of these two in a moment. Let's go to Al Horford, though, because I got to give this guy some love. So, as you could see in that game last night, and again, if you want to get your thoughts on it, 617-779-7937. We want to hear from you, get your reaction to the Celtics game last night. This was amazing. So Tim Bontemps, he wrote an article for ESPN. He had the stat in there. So LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, those are the top 3 perimeter scorers for the Celtics. They isolated a combined 23 times against Al Horford per second spectrum tracking data. So just for context, okay, what does that mean? 23 isolations. That is the second most isolations against any player in a single game since player tracking began in the 2013-2014 season. And how did Big Al do? Well, he allowed 0.39 points per direct play per second spectrum. And that is the second best efficiency by any player to defend at least 15 isolations in a game in the past 12 seasons. You want me to distill it down a little bit simpler? Lakers went 7 for 23 against Horford. And Doncic and LeBron James combined to go 3 for 14 against him. What the Celtics have been able to get out of Al Horford since they got him back into the fold via trade has been nothing short of remarkable. It speaks to the longevity that some of these players have, but he was so good in that game yesterday, defensively. And what he can still bring to this team in the minutes that he ended up playing. And again, another example of how much this game meant to the Celtics. Yeah, they're the defending champs. Yes, every team has a bullseye on their back. But they have to show up in games like this. They know that just to continue to show the rest of the league, hey, we're still the top dog. And Al Horford plays 37 minutes in this game. Al Horford, old Al Horford, still doing it. And the comments after the game, I think, were really cool because the Celtics knew it was a big game, especially with Luka coming in as a Laker for the first time, knowing that there's a history now with Luka Doncic, obviously a positive one for the Celtics. And everybody on this Celtics team pretty much said that this was an important game. You just heard Jason Tatum, if you were with us at the top of the show, he talked about it, how great it is that Celtics-Lakers is revived again, you know, with Luka now in tow with the Lakers and them being one of the top teams in the West. But he wasn't the only one. Here's what Jaylen Brown had to say after the game.
But it was a great energy game. Today was not one of those regular season normal games where it's whatever. Tonight was a good day for basketball.
Yeah, it certainly was. Now, you that type of comment from Jaylen Brown, that might not be the most surprising thing. To me, the most surprising thing was hearing Joe Mazzulla actually talk after the game. And yeah, he had a lot to say, a lot of good things, obviously, about his team, but he talked about the matchup itself and what it meant to play against the Lakers and why he played his stars as much as he did. Jason Tatum, 45 minutes, Jaylen Brown, 42, Al Horford, 37. Here's Joe Mazzulla talking after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, the Celtic Lakers, and you're a part of that, and that's important. And, you know, you can't let that distract you from the things that you have to do to lead to winning. And, you know, I feel like there's moments that you give those guys chances to be able to be a part of that. And you know, they're, you know, Al played 37. Those, like, everybody on this roster is, you know, playing for a legacy, and you do it together. And I felt like that was a great moment for them to be able to compete at a high level for as long as they wanted to.
Is that kind of your way of showing them that this is not a normal game without saying it?
It's my way of saying that you better win. So, you know, and yeah, I like watching them play. So,
fair enough. Fair enough. We all like watching them play. And thank you, Joe Mazzulla, for letting those guys play because it added to the drama of last night. It was also interesting to hear LeBron talk after the game. You know, he obviously got hurt in the fourth quarter with the groin strain, and we'll see how long he's out, and we'll see if that affects the Lakers' chances of possibly meeting the Celtics in the postseason, because that's where everyone's going to now. Here's LeBron talking after the game about where the Lakers stand in comparison to the Celtics.
We'll be fine. We got to continue to build our habits, though. We're not where they are. He's a defending champion. And they've been playing basketball together for a long time, and they got a great chemistry and what they want to do. You know, we made an acquisition late in the season, and we're still trying to build. And you know, we want to get full. That's the number one objective for us, how we can get full and get all our guys together and see exactly what we look like. So we feel like we can be versus anybody.
We'll see if they can get there. Just want to end with this point. Celtics now have won 14 of their last 17. And during this stretch, they have hosted the Cavs, the Nuggets, the Knicks, and the Lakers. I think this is kind of remarkable that they have had a 20-point lead at least in each of those games against those competitors. Now, they lost that game against the Cavs. We talked about it actually last week. So we know that this group, as good as they are, is susceptible to losing big games and losing them by coughing up big leads. But to me, that tells you that every other team is still chasing them. They got a big one coming up pretty soon here against the Oklahoma City Thunder, which to me is still the most dangerous team out west. And I just want to end with this point. So many people were talking about, if the NBA is going to get its ratings up, maybe it has to be Celtics-Lakers. And I understand that point, especially with, again, last night, we were all tuned into that one. And the star power of Luka now with LeBron on Los Angeles. The irony to me is that everybody was talking about how easy a path the Celtics had last year. I think that they would have this series pretty easily. Because this team can handle Luka. He's going to get his, but they can attack him. And we saw it again in last night's game. And LeBron's 40. Listen, as amazing as it is what he's doing, I just don't think a team that is still heavily relying upon him is quite going to get there to the finals. So OKC Celtics, to me, is going to be an actual better series. But the rivalry is obviously a big deal. And if you're a Celtics fan, you hunger for this because you can beat the Lakers again and you're just a better team, as you showed last night. All right, we have a lot more to get to on the show. We're going to get in some Red Sox thoughts. We also have Emmanuel Barbari coming on at 8:30. He is the Yankees pregame and postgame host for WFAN, so it'll be a little bit of an Odyssey crossover. I wanted to get him on to talk about the AL East race this year. Also get his thoughts on what's going on in Yankees camp, because they're being hit with a lot of injuries. And I want to see if he's come around to where I'm at with picking the Red Sox to win the AL East. So we'll have him come on at 8:30. We'll get in some spring training thoughts as well. We obviously want to hear from you as well. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us as well. Joe Weil with you here on a Sunday morning. Let's send it over to Jacob Lassner, who has what's trending here on WEI.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Najad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A big swing from the Slash Bro, Trace Thompson. Of course, brother of Klay Thompson. He's had a heck of a spring training. 5 home runs in 10 games, hitting .364, .500 on base percentage, and a slugging percentage over 1,000. Great to hear Joe Castig on the call yesterday. He'll be on the call again today with Rob Bradford. That other voice you heard was Will Middlebrooks, the legend himself. As we get you going here on a Sunday morning, thanks for joining us on WEEI. Joe Weil with you. Jacob Lassner behind the glass. We just talked some Celtics, and we're going to move on to Red Sox now. But if you want to get your calls in about Celtics or if you want to talk Red Sox, you can call us at 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. As we continue to get you rolling here on this Sunday morning, obviously the clocks have moved forward. Hopefully you've adjusted. I got up early to get ready for the show. Would have loved that extra hour. We don't have it, obviously, because the clocks move forward. Do we still need to do daylight savings time? I think it's a fair question.
Based on my experiences, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And you know what? I've been consistent about that, Jacob, my whole life. Didn't like it as a kid, because when you're a kid, you want sleep. And when you're an adult, you learn to cope with less sleep, but you actually need more sleep as an adult in some cases, just because you have more going on. Anyway, Red Sox back in action today. It's been an interesting spring training, and on so many different levels, both exciting, both still so much to fit, and also still so much to figure out. And by the way, in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Emmanuel Barbari join us to talk some Red Sox-Yankees, get his thoughts on the AL East race. If you don't know Emmanuel, he does great work for WFAN, and he is in New York. He is the pregame, postgame host. He filled in on a lot of games last year with John Sterling stepping down. He will still be doing some games, but he'll be working alongside Dave Sims and Susan Waldman as well. And I'm so curious to get his thoughts, and I wanted to get him on today because there's so much happening in Yankee camp with all their injuries this year already, with Giancarlo Stanton on the shelf, and then you have Gerrit Cole now dealing with this elbow situation, and who knows, he might be, there is a chance he could be out for the year. He said himself he's concerned about the state of his pitching elbow. And Luis Gil's now expected to miss at least 3 months with a right lat strain. And this hits on something I have been talking about every chance I've had when I fill in here or do shows on WEI. I said it kind of meagerly. I will admit this. I said it with not that much oomph in my voice about 4 weeks ago. And that was the Red Sox winning the AL East. And at the time I said, I think that they're going to win the AL East. I didn't say it with a ton of confidence. Last week, felt more confident about it. And that was before all this Gerrit Cole stuff came down the pipe. Now I'm even more confident about it. You still have to deal with the Orioles. And obviously you still have to deal with the Yankees, even though they have Aaron Judge. But to me, what's been interesting about Red Sox camp is that their depth is being tested. And yet, right now, I still feel good about things. Do you feel good about things? Again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Because there's a very likely chance now that both Brian Baio and Cutter Crawford are not going to be starting the season with the Red Sox, both dealing with their various injuries, ramping their way back. Shoulder for Baio, the knee for Crawford. But Richard Fitz has looked pretty good. Quinn Priester, I think, is a good depth option. I'm excited to see Lucas Giolito pitch in a real game for the first time in this upcoming week. Even with the outfield spot, and everybody, so many people are sick for the Red Sox. Thankfully, like some of them are now working their way back. Marcelo Meyer played in the game yesterday. Roman Anthony has to make up 10 pounds. I'm sure you guys saw that news because of the illness he had. So he's now a little bit behind, and he's just going to have to eat to help get that weight back. Willy Abreu has been dealing with an illness, and it seems very likely that he's not going to be ready for opening day. But we just heard that highlight from Trace Thompson. Maybe the Red Sox use him at the beginning of the year to kind of fill that void for a couple weeks. The only tricky part about that is that he doesn't have any options. So it puts them in a tough spot if they move him back down to AAA. He's not on the 40-man. You might need to... the big problem is if you have him start the season in the major leagues, and he doesn't have any options, obviously. If you move him to AAA, you might lose him. But still, you still have Jaron Duran, Sadon Raffaello, who was out for a couple games. Now he's back out there. Trevor Story's healthy, swinging the bat well, at least for now. It's only spring training, I grant you that. But to me, this happens in sports where you get hit with stuff at the beginning of the season or in the preseason. But if you build out a team in a smart fashion, you can withstand that. And say what you will about this group, especially one that has not accomplished anything over the last couple years. But at least on paper, it looks like they can withstand a couple of hits. Some guys not being ready for opening day. And to me, as currently constructed, even with accounting for some of the guys that aren't, or at least don't seem available at the start of the season, I still like their chances in the division. But staying on this topic, it's so great to have somebody that has expertise on the other side of the rivalry between the Red Sox and Yankees. We have Emmanuel Barbari joining us of WFAN, Yankees pregame and postgame hosts. Emmanuel, thanks so much for joining us so early.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me, man. Good to be with you.
And Emmanuel, before we get started on the baseball stuff, I just had this thought because I started off my show talking Celtics-Lakers from last night. Your broadcast partner, Susan Wolman, I know she still has the Celtics love in her heart, even though she's been in New York for so many years. Does she talk Celtics with you? Do you get to see that part of her often?
I get to see that part of her. Sometimes I don't. I'm not going to poke the bear necessarily. I'll say the Celtics have a big loss or whatnot. But there have been plenty Yankee game where the Celtics are on in the backdrop, NBA title run and whatnot, where we're kind of peeking over as we're in the third or fourth inning. You know, we don't let it affect our focus on the Yankees per se, but we're definitely cognizant of what's going on.
And to me, that just shows what a professional she is. She keeps an eye on something she loves, but obviously still does the job extremely well. But Emmanuel, I appreciate you joining us here, and I wanted to get you on just to talk about the AL East race, and we'll get into all of it, not only maybe even, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, but what other teams could sneak to the top. I just got to ask you, I mean, it seems like every day there is bad news coming from Yankee camp. So what's the vibe on your guys' side of things, considering some of the recent news about Gerrit Cole, Giancarlo Stanton, Luis Gil, and DJ LeMahieu?
Yeah, I think it's become a little bit more wait and see. There was a lot of optimism, especially everyone's calling it the pivot. Once the Yankees lost Juan Soto this offseason, I thought they did an excellent job replacing, you can't replace Juan Soto, but doing it in the aggregate and really creating a more well-balanced, well-rounded team. But that's kind of halted to a standstill now where you don't know where things quite are with some of these injuries. Giancarlo Stanton, despite some of these bad reports recently, and you read the tea leaves and none of it sounds great, there's no definitive timeline on him. And Gerrit Cole, no definitive timeline on him. Luis Gil, you know he's going to be down, you know, at least 3 months because there's just a six-week timetable where he can't throw. So you have some definitive news, but a lot of it is still completely up in the air. So I think it's taken some of the optimism abound, if you will, and turned it into, wow, it could be dealing with some serious stuff here. I think the Yankees feel like they have enough internally to weather any storm and stay in it regardless. So I think there's always going to be some sort of optimism. But that said, I don't think you're withstanding all too well Gerrit Cole missing, let's say, an entire year. So I think that's why right now it's been a little bit of a wait and see as opposed to we're still really, you know, guns blazing, ready to go for the year.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I stand too with it, Emmanuel, because I feel like they can deal with Luis Gil being out for a little bit. I didn't think DJ LeMahieu was going to give them much anyway, you know, even if he was healthy. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton does hurt them because you saw in the postseason what he could be, even though he's not quite that player in the regular season. But Gerrit Cole seems like the tipping point. Here's the question I have for you. If Gerrit Cole isn't healthy, do you believe the Red Sox are the best team in this division, or would you go with the Orioles, or would you still stick with the Yankees?
You know, I'm not saying this just because I'm on your show or just playing lip service with the Red Sox. I thought even with Gerrit Cole in the rotation, this was going to be an extremely competitive division race regardless. I didn't think the Yankees were by far and away the best team no matter what. I think a lot of people were overlooking. Like, sure, the Yankees went to the World Series last year, so you got to give them their due and say they're the American League favorite without a team asserting itself in a huge way, without evidence to indicate that the Yankees aren't going to go back to the World Series. But I thought the Red Sox did enough. And I liked the Red Sox. I liked a lot of what they had coming up through the pipeline and a lot of what they did last year without the moves they made. Now, they weren't this juggernaut. They weren't this playoff team last year, but they were close enough considering some of their deficiencies. So I thought the moves they made combined with having Alex Cora still in that dugout, I thought it was going to be an extremely tight division race, even with the Yankees at full strength. So to get to the question, long-winded, I think that the Red Sox are in a prime position now if the Yankees do miss Gerrit Cole for an extended period of time. We know, regardless of this injury, I think they were going to miss Giancarlo Stanton for an extended period of time. So think about it. I mean, those are two key pieces. Forget the others that might miss some time because they're more supplementary pieces. Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton miss a lot of time, and the Yankees were relying more on Stanton to fill a cog in the regular season lineup, not postseason, regular season without Soto this year. I mean, that leaves the door open for the Red Sox, which I thought was already open.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point you make there at the end about Juan Soto, Emmanuel, because the way I've looked at the Yankees offseason is the logic I've heard is they're replacing Juan Soto with different parts, but you need all those parts to be there to replace a guy that's going to be a future Hall of Famer. You need kind of all of it to click at once. And then, you know, the dam seems to be falling around the team with all the injuries. But it was funny because I very meagerly, I was joking about this earlier, I very meagerly said I think the Red Sox are going to win the AL East about 4 weeks ago. I feel a little bit more confident about that now with the way things shake out. But it's great to have you on. And for those joining us now, we're with Emmanuel Barbari. He's the Yankees pregame and postgame host for WFAN. So little Odyssey crossover. He's also going to be calling some games again this year for the Yankees. But it's great to have you on because I want to hear what the perspective for you has been like about the Red Sox, because I can imagine from the Yankees side of things how bizarre it's been that this Red Sox team has maybe had some talent, but not the talent level of you and I's childhood, you know, where they were the big spenders and they'd have these kind of, or these big stars that would go up against the Yankees. Now they have a team that does have stars with Alex Bregman. Now they got Garrett Crochet, obviously, in via trade. What's it been like for you to kind of see this team the last couple years and now see this team and the way they're built coming into this season?
It is a little strange, right? Because I look across the diamond when the Red Sox have been in town and you put more weight just on the name. And I think there's an aura and there's a lore. So when you have Yankees, Red Sox, you naturally, I think, give the Red Sox a little bit more due, even if they're not having the best of seasons. So I looked at them last year, and I naturally, I think, wanted to overinflate what I was seeing. But they genuinely, I thought, were a piece or two away, which is what probably made it more frustrating from a Boston standpoint, let alone a Yankee standpoint, which was they weren't that far from being a playoff team. They weren't that far from competing for the AL East. So what they've done this offseason, you know, from afar, I'm high on that team, but up close and personal, it's got to be much more exciting to see some investment and, hey, double down, let's go in on what we have, because it is a far departure. You're right. Like, there were, speaking of Susan, there were a lot of times where we would talk about it, whether it be during a Yankees-Red Sox game or off the air. That was the big takeaway from the Boston side of things. Is like, you look around the diamond, people are used to in Boston having those players that they follow and fall in love with. There were a lot of unknowns on the team, a lot of replacement-level players on the team. That's still the case of any team across the league now, but you want to have less of those. You want to have more certainty. You want to have those players you grow up with, and you show up to the ballpark, you know who you're watching, and you can follow the story of them all year. That has not been the case, and that was the most strange thing to see between Yankees-Red Sox last year when the Red Sox would come in or the Yankees would go to Fenway Park. I don't think that's going to be the case for this year, and not for long, especially if some of these big-time Boston prospects pan out.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Red Sox-Yankees games this year. And hey, listen, even though the Red Sox may have not had the marquee talent, it still felt like every game was a battle, and there are at least four or five games off the top of my head, Emmanuel, that I can remember that these two teams played last year that were actually super memorable. They had like the Masataka Yoshida game-tying home run against Clay Holmes, a couple of games at Fenway, I think it was in July, where the teams went back and forth, and it was crazy. So I can only... Yeah, no, that must have been crazy from your perspective, too, obviously, with everything you went through last year, to just kind of see this all up close and personal.
No, it's funny you mentioned a couple of those moments because, you have Fenway Park and the Yankees are off to a 50-22 start. And it was that Saturday into Sunday combination where the Yankees didn't only drop the Saturday game, they lost the Sunday game and the Red Sox stole the franchise record, nine stolen bases.
Crazy
game. So that turned, I'm not going to say it turned the Yankee season because it ended up in a World Series appearance, but it turned the regular season for sure. That started about a 2.5-month stretch where the Yankees were not playing great baseball. So there were some of the watermarks of the season, and I also thought the Yankee season turned back around in September when the Red Sox came in and the Yankees had that great weekend. So it was a really interesting rivalry, if you will, last year in the sense that there were a lot of notable games, even a game that was lopsided. You know, Verdugo's return to Boston that same weekend in June. So I just thought it was interesting you mentioned that, because even in a, I'd call it a down year for the quote-unquote rivalry, if we just want to evaluate it on juice, there were still some awesome games in there.
Yeah, and Aaron Judge hit the furthest ball I've seen at Fenway Park, too, in one of those games. It was one he hit to dead center to the camera. Well, I mean, it was just, it was ridiculous. But that was a game the Red Sox still ended up winning because they came back against the bullpen. You're right. The games were incredible last year. But there's going to be more, I believe, at stake this year just with the heightened expectations on the Red Sox side of things. Emmanuel, before we let you go, I think people, as much as they like talking about baseball, the human interest piece of all of what we do is also something I think people are interested in. And, you know, you're a guy I've known for a couple of years. And last year you step in almost at the last second, essentially, just to be somebody that helped fill the void with John Sterling stepping down. What was last season like for you as a young guy that's already killing it in this business to be doing your dream job and be able to fill in for a guy that you were listening throughout your childhood to?
No, I appreciate you saying it and framing it that way, Joe. It means a lot. It was a surreal year. That's the only word I can keep coming back to, and it's surreal to be a part of the Yankee broadcast in any way. I always look back when I reflect on it and think, look, like when we go into a business like this, when we want to do sports broadcasting, when we want to tell the story of games or be on the air in some capacity, you always have some sort of inspiration and you have some sort of a goal in mind. And I think it's important, you know, when you're young, to set those lofty, probably like unattainable goals, because the odds just aren't in your favor. Like, you got to set them and shoot for the stars, if you will. But, you know, you understand the math is just not in your favor. So when I think back to when I wanted to become a sports broadcaster early on in high school, it was, okay, maybe I could call Yankee games one day. And you know that's probably not going to happen. But you still go into it full bore with that in mind, that at least lingering in the back of your mind. So I always looked at last year, and this is what made it so special. If I called one Yankee game at 50 years old, that would have been everything to me. So the fact to do more than one and have it happen way earlier than I ever could have expected, a lot of the year was trying to do the best job I could, obviously, in that seat, and try to, you know, you can't fulfill the standard of John Sterling. It's just, it's his seat. And growing up listening to him, speaking of inspirations, he was a major inspiration. Susan was a major inspiration when I was growing up. So you try to do the best job you can, but also reflect and like take a step back when you walk into these ballparks or do a Yankees Red Sox game at Yankee Stadium and realize that this is all you ever could have dreamt. So I appreciate you asking that. And it was an inspiration for starting out. And the fact I got to play any small role was really awesome.
Well, keep crushing it, my man. I'm glad you're back full time doing Yankees pre and post. Hope to see you at Fenway for some Red Sox Yankees. I know you're an iced coffee guy, so iced coffee on me when you're in town. Obviously, Dunks is the way to go most times here, but we can adjust if that's not your cup of tea or cup of coffee, I should say. But Emmanuel, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me today.
I appreciate you having me, and nice coffee. I mean, you're speaking my language, so we will make that happen.
We will make it happen. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man. That's Emmanuel Barbari. He is the Yankees pre and post host. Wanted to get him on just to talk about the AL East race, and again, because there's a lot happening on the injury front on the Yankees side of things, which affects us in Boston. You know, you never root for injuries, but in a positive way for the Sox, the sea continues to open for this team to win the AL East. And again, I'm going to say it more boldly as we continue to get further along here in spring training. I think this team is going to win the division. We'll wrap it up with some Red Sox thoughts. If you want to get your thoughts in, 617-779-7937 here on WEI. You can also text us at 617-779-7937. Joe Weil with you here on a Sunday morning. Back to wrap things up before Sunday skate right after this on WEI. All right, rounding things out here on the 8 o'clock hour before we get you to Sunday skate. Excited to hear them after a wild week for the Bruins, the NHL. Joe Weil with you, Jacob Lassner alongside. Jacob, you're a big hockey guy. I want your take on what happened with the Bruins this week.
It was weird. I mean, I don't think the return for Marchand was great, but at the same time, the Bruins got a lot of assets, and that's exactly what Bruins fans have been, you know, harping about for these past few months. You didn't give up your Charlie McAvoy or your David Pastrnak or your Lindholms, and Swayman as well, still a Bruin, got that shutout last night. So, I mean, if I were a Bruins fan, I'd be pretty happy right now, but also a little upset with the return for Brad Marchand. So it's a double-edged sword.
And plus there's the emotional part of it, right? With what he meant to this region, what he meant to this organization. And that's the part that was the most relatable to me as just a sports fan. With Brad Marchand leaving and all the years he committed to this organization, the hope from Bruins fans that he was going to stay a Bruin for his entire career and instead goes to one of the rivals of the Bruins. You think about that series, obviously, a couple of years ago with the Panthers. But excited to hear Scott talk about it, Bridget. Andrew Raycroft on Sunday Skate coming up here at 9 o'clock. So don't go anywhere if you want to get your hockey thoughts in. Be sure to hit them up on the text line at 617-779-7937. You can also call in as well. Just to round things out on the Red Sox front, again, they're in action today. Joe Castiglione will be on the call alongside Rob Bradford. It was great to hear Joe on the call yesterday, and I know he's been on the airwaves already in spring training, but to hear his voice... We played the Trace Thompson Grand Slam from yesterday. That was really cool. They're taking on the Braves today at JetBlue Park. Second base, that hasn't been fully answered yet for this Sox team. I've been keeping track of just who's getting the starts there and what the tally looks like. We only have a couple minutes here, so we'll kind of round it out with some Sox thoughts. Vaughn Grissom still... in the lead with seven starts. He's played eight games at second base, but he has seven starts there. David Hamilton, he's had five starts at second base. And then Christian Campbell, by my count, has two. And then he's also played a little bit of left field as well. So it seems as though, still, from my perspective, that it's Vaughn Grissom's job to lose. And I've hit on this before in some previous shows. It hasn't been a publicly stated thing. This is only something I've just kind of been thinking in the background of all this. I still think the front office, and even Alex Cora, I think they would still like to see what they have in Vaughn Grissom because of who they traded away to get him in Chris Sale. And the fact that he had won a Cy Young last year with the Braves. And also because Vaughn Grissom was just so... Yeah, his season last year was such a mess with... being hurt, being ill, losing weight, trying to get it back, trying to get his rhythm and get everything on track. And you know, at least for him, he's had it hit in three straight games here in spring training. Now he's 4-for-9 over these last three games. Two walks, two doubles, two RBIs. So he's starting to show that offensive prowess that the Sox hoped they could get when they traded for him. So I still think he has the edge there for that second base job. And listen, with Christian Campbell getting more starts out in left field and the situation with Willy Abreu still working his way back after being ill and trying to get, you know, his playing weight under him, I think there's a chance still that Campbell could make the opening day roster and they just put him out in the outfield. Coming up this week, excited to see Lucas Giolito start for the first time. Also excited, or hoping, we get to see Rafael Devers in a game. Alex Cora did say it's either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week in which we will see him in action for the first time. We're still waiting on that debut with all the drama surrounding third base to see Rafael Devers back in a game, coming back from the shoulder injuries. The season opener, only a couple weeks away. Let's go! Red Sox looking better by the day in the division with all that's happening with the Yankees. Thanks to Emmanuel Barbari, Yankees pregame and postgame host, for joining us. Talk a little bit of Sox-Yankees, what to expect this year. Jacob Lassner, great work. Got in studio. Crushed it right from the get-go.
You too, Joe.
Appreciate you, my man. And good luck to your Eagles as we
appreciate
move along.
It.
All right, Sunday Skate's coming up next. I'm Joe Weil. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning on WEI.